This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of December. Just 2 days away from Christmas. And tonight, a man outstanding, and that's the board up, Ken. Hey, Ken.
Good evening, Pastor.
There you go.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and of course, I'm here, and just Kenny and I tonight, because Kenny was eating garlic again.
And yeah, and you don't want to be in studio when I'm eating garlic.
Right. There you go. Alfalfa used to eat wild onions so he could sing. But you ain't alfalfa.
No, and I'm not no singer either.
Alrighty. Listen, we got to get this radio program going, because the title of the message was the prelogue to Theophilus. And we're going to start here tonight. First of all, even though they never mention him by name in this book or the one in Acts, as the writer of it, it was Luke, the Dr. Luke, and he was the Apostle Paul's personal physician. He is the writer. And how do we know that? Well, all of the old early church authors, early church fathers, all have said that. And so, we start with, forasmuch as many have taken in hand, set forth in order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Did you know what I just did? I just read that. Did you know that first one is 82 words, 82 words there in that text? And it's just one sentence. It's all in one complete sentence. There are many who...
That's verses 1 through 4? Is that just verse 1?
Just verse 1.
80s.
No, you're right.
That's got to be verse 1 through 4. There's no way there's 80 in just that
yeah,
first
that's
section.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, here. I'm looking at the count on it. Okay, yeah. So he goes here and he says that there were many when he says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from their getting were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, there were many people that were writing, keeping records and writing biographies of that, of the Lord Jesus in that day. But here, you know, this is the only one that is considered to be God-breathed. And so he wrote both here Luke and Acts, the book of Acts too. And so here, what these two books here, the book of Luke tells us what our Lord did while he was here on earth. Then in his second book, Acts, tells us what the Lord was doing in heaven through the church here on earth. And so when we see here, as we go on, you know, by the way, I'm going to jump over to read 1 Corinthians, because as he was talking about, many have written, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And while he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then all of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, to the cause I persecuted the church, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, here, this passage is often considered the defining verse of the gospel of Christ, by which alone men can be saved, by receiving it, by believing it, and by standing on it. But there's another name for that, and I told you that last night. Do you remember what it was?
No.
It was the gospel in a nutshell, is what it's called.
That's right, okay.
And here, now going back to this, Luke was very, very articulate. And in fact, when he tells you this, here when he uses the word acrobus here in verse 3 and 4, where he says, it seemed good to me, also having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee, most excellent Theophilus. Perfect there. The word acrobus, that word speaks of precision and exactness. Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember what Theophilus means?
No. I'm drawing a blank.
Lover of God.
Lover, okay.
Now, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of different opinions on who Theophilus was. Some believe that he was a man that held a high office. Others believe he was the fellow that had deep pockets, and he was helping Luke, and he was backing Luke and supporting Luke.
Yeah.
as he, Dr. Luke, doing his writings. And then over in fact, if we go over to Acts 21, I want to jump over there real quick, verses 7 through 10. And when he had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we were of Paul's company, departed, and came into Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now Paul and Luke lodged there with Philip and his four daughters who were prophetess. And so Luke documented all his writings with only first person. It was always first person. He would talk to the family members of Jesus, to his mothers, to his brothers, to the apostles, and everything was first person, all, you know, about their association with the Lord Jesus and the way they did things and what they did and where they did them and all of that.
Yeah, all so, eyewitness accounts.
All eyewitness accounts. And then we go to verse 5. There was in those days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. Now here, Herod the Great was a descendant of Esau. He was appointed king of the Jews by the Roman Senate in 40 B.C. At that time, there was about 20... Well, there is some controversy, but most agree that there are between 19,500 to 20,000 priests throughout the country. They were divided into 24 different groups. Zacharias was of the Abiah division. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to prepare the way for Jesus to come to earth. Mm-hmm. And so he was just beside himself. And they were both righteous. Well, let me start that off. Therefore, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, I know you'll remember this. Mm-hmm. Now, here you have, there were only four people, very important people in the Bible, who were said to have been people who were of old age, stricken in years. Now, you know two of them
right
here.
That's a nice way to put it, stricken in years.
Yeah. So, here we just read two of them, Elizabeth and Zacharias. Who are the other two?
Abraham and Sarah.
You got it.
Okay. I remember something.
Remember while you can, because you're getting more stricken in years.
I am getting more stricken in years. Yeah. It comes for all of us.
Yeah, I know. And it came to pass that while he executed a priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Now, here, what do you think all of those people at that that were outside the temple praying? There were a large group. What do you think they were praying for?
I think they were probably praying for the coming of the Savior.
Right, for the birth of the Messiah. And were they looking for the Messiah of Isaiah 53, or were they looking for the Messiah of Revelation 19?
I think they want the Messiah of Revelation.
Right, you're right, the conquering king. And so they were out there waiting to hear. And how long, do you know how long it had been since they had heard?
Was it 400 years?
400 years.
Yeah,
yeah. It since they had heard anything. It's from it was in the days of Malachi when they last heard a word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, why do you think he was troubled?
Well, no one else is supposed to be in there.
That's right. Anybody else who was not authorized to be in there would have been dead in an instant, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so then Zechariah must have realized he was an angel. I mean, and he must have been awesome looking, you know?
Had to have been.
But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, he had two prayers. Zacharias had his two prayers. And one of them, at his age, he was probably starting to maybe lose hope of having a son, huh?
Yeah, probably starting to give up on that one.
Yeah. Why do you know, it was very important for him to have a son to leave, to carry on his name. But what other reason would it be very, very important for him to have a son?
I don't know. Would it be, I don't know if it would be standing, you know, kind of like in the public view, you know, of, and then having an heir to pass everything down to?
Well, it would, yeah, that would apply, but another reason would be because of his loving wife there, Elizabeth. She was a reproach amongst men.
Oh, yeah.
To be a reproach amongst men.
And then they would look upon her as being cursed or whatever if she couldn't provide a son for her husband.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they had a belief in those days that if the Lord shut up a woman's womb, it was because she had done something wrong. She had sinned and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, there'd be a reproach amongst man, but actually it meant mankind, because actually she would receive more scorn from the women than the man.
Okay? Yeah.
And here, so... And so here, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now, this is very interesting, because of those verses, a number of people think that John was a Nazarite. But had he been a Nazarite, here... that would have been announced by the angel, and that would have been announced by his father.
Yeah.
And here, but John grew up and was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. "And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Okay, so Elijah, you know, Elias, you know, actually it's Elijah, here, when they asked about when is Elijah coming, you know, the prophecy, because that the prophecy was prophesied there in Elijah about the Messiah. Jesus had told him he did come, and he was referring to not in the physical, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That was John the Baptist, huh?
Yeah. He's kind of laying the groundwork, setting the table.
Yeah. So what did the Lord have to say about John? He said... of men born of women, we talked about that Just about all the men I ever knew were born of women. But so he's making a very clear point when the Lord said, you know, meaning all men, of all men ever born, of all men ever born, there is none greater than John. Now, here, what he was talking about, being born, Christ himself existed. He was pre-existed before he became flesh and ended up, you know, in Mary's womb. And so he didn't come in existence. He wasn't actually coming into existence or being born at when he became a child in the womb. So that would
he was already there.
Right.
You know, he was already, you know, created, I guess.
Yeah, well, he pre-existed. In Jeremiah, when it said that there's something new going to happen, and that's you're going to have a man's going to be encompassed by a woman. And he said a man would be encompassed, and mother means that a man would be surrounded completely inside a woman. Well, he was referring to the fact that he had been a man, and if we go back and we look at the different appearances, like when he appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, that one, you know, you go back 4,000 years before, you know, not 4,000, actually over 3,000 before he appeared to, before he was born, became a child and born of Mary. And here he says, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." So that was just a typical, the Jews were always asking for a sign, always asking for a sign. And so here, "And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Boy, I guess he told Zacharias, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And Zacharias didn't tell anyone then after that.
No. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Boy, I bet you she was happy about that.
Yeah. What a relief to her.
"Thus hath he dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." That had to... you know, she'd had this with her whole life, huh?
Yeah. It had to just fill her with joy because, you know, she's been praying, and then finally the prayer was answered, and to know that God heard her.
We're going to stop right there and pick it up there tomorrow. Well, no, not actually tomorrow. We have a special program, so.
Christmas Eve tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. So, all right, we'll be back right after this.
Quiet night in Bethlehem. Birth sleeps and few take thought of him. But the heavens rejoice and the angels sing. The child of Bethlehem is the King of Kings. sleep, and the heavens rejoice, and the angels sing. Child of Bethlehem is the King of Kings. Down from heaven's glory to manger bed, crucified, glorified, He was born to be our
I think we're going to do tonight, because we haven't done it in a whole long time. I think we'll open the phone lines early and take calls.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And in between calls, we'll do a hit on a couple little news items. Did you know in New Hampshire they allowed a satanic nativity scene there in their capital? Yeah, that's really, really gross, isn't it?
You know, they preach about separating church and state unless it's satanic, I guess.
Well,
you know, keeping religion out of politics, and unless it's satanic.
The opposition knows right now people are, you know, everyone's, you know, they're kind of on a high. We won the election. Everybody's hoping, hey, we're going to change this around. You just saw there in New York City where one of Biden's.
Illegals.
Yeah, when set a woman on fire, burned her to death, sat there in the chair seat watching her burn to death on the subway.
Disgusting.
Yeah, and you know, because Biden's pedophiles, he just gave not pardons, but what do you call it?
What was it? Commuting the sentence.
Yeah, commuting.
They called it.
Yeah. The worst of the worst, you know, a lot of child killers. I mean, this guy is Biden is evil. He's evil to the core. Okay?
Well, see, the thing is, too, is now there's articles that are coming out that they're even admitting that it's been kind of a committee running everything because his mental faculties have been going for the last couple of years. So are these pardons even legal?
I don't know. You know, again,
I mean, that would be something that the next administration should be looking into. And if in fact that is the case, to where he's not of sound mind anyways to be writing these pardons, I don't believe they should be legal.
Well, his own Justice Department, don't you remember when he was taken and he was declared not fit to stand trial?
Yeah.
Now, so...
But here, he can still run the country?
Right. He was
at
not
that
fit.
Point, that exact point, they should have instituted the 25th Amendment and, you know, kind of, you know, as gracefully as you possibly can, give him the exit. And, you know, unfortunately, the backup quarterback is Kamala Harris, you know, and she would have had, but it would have been her responsibility then.
Yeah. Well, here, I better give the phone number out.
Oh, yeah.
888-677-9673. The phone lines are open early tonight. They're open early. But here's the thing. You know, this guy here, he is so responsible for so much pain caused. You know, all of these children, these missing children, he brought in all of these illegals. They're raping little girls. They're killing people. They're taking over apartment buildings. They're stealing people's property. Biden and on the entire Democratic Party, all of those should be charged for that, those crimes that these people have committed. Biden brought them in. Now, here, Tom Holman, the new, what he called border czar, he came right out and said that Mary Arcus is responsible for the trafficking of these children. Remember, we told you that years ago. You know, when Mary Arcus was appointed, we knew, we were watching, this guy had a bad, bad reputation to begin with. And here he's been making tons of money, okay, trafficking these children. I mean, I know it. It's out there. Everybody in the media knows it. But again, like, you know, we'll see what happens on the, you know, on the day one when Trump goes in. And well, listen, that's right. What you said makes a lot of sense because, you know, if Mary Arcus and these people show up and say, well, we did get a pardon here. We got a piece of paper that says that we're pardoned. I don't think it's going to wash, do you?
No, I don't. I don't see how it could. If he's not of sound mind to be running the country and making these decisions himself, which they're now admitting that it's been done by committee, that the people around him have been essentially running the country instead of him because he can't form sentences and he can't remember the lies that he's told and have been fact-checked and tells them again the next day, even though he just got fact-checked the day before. He can't remember any of this, and they're making these decisions. I don't think that's legal, and I think that needs to be looked into by this upcoming Trump administration. And I would not be surprised if they rescind these, at least a majority of these pardons.
And there's been several days in a row where he hasn't been seen, where no one has seen him.
No.
And, well, we'll find out.
888-677-9673. Last time we tried to do this, we had issues with the phone lines, and we just checked them right before the show, and they were working, so... give us a call. We're taking them early. 888-677-9673.
Maybe you better check them again. Maybe you better give it a call.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Remember, this is my program. Yeah. These things happen, always happen on my watch, huh?
Yeah, they do. I don't know. There's some forces out there that really want to, I guess, shut you up if they can.
You know, if you think about, you know, we always talk about how terrible what Herod did to all the young children, all the young boys in Bethlehem. But Planned Parenthood does much worse than that every single day. Every day they do 100 times worse than what Herod did, huh? So, all right. The Ravens head coach, Harbaugh, he shares a Christmas message. That was great just to have him do that, you know. Because now, and I started to say it before, because people are kind of leaning back on their laurels now because we won the election. But here, the opposition doesn't rest, and they know that people are kind of now taking a deep breath and leaning back and relaxing, and this is where they're doing their work. This is where the Antichrist, Satanists, some very wicked, evil people, folks out there. This is the time we're living in. It's the evil days that we're living in. Now is when you really have to be on guard.
You can't let up. You always keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
We've got Michael in Queens.
All right. Hey, Michael, you're in the air. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Joyous holidays to you. I'm over here in Queens, New York. I hear your program, and how long is it going to take for the Biden administration to get removed? I mean, are they going to take them, or we just going to have to wait until the Trump administration starts before things change?
No, yeah, I doubt that anything's going to happen before that, before the 20th, yeah. You know. And so,
but then once Trump gets into office, is the Fed part of our government, are they going to go and spend gazillions of dollars to start fighting Trump instead of paying attention to government again like they did last time?
Probably.
Because last time it was, you know, it was sickening to see that such a large portion of our government and such a large portion of our finances were spent to challenge our president instead of doing the work of government for the citizen.
Well, it's not going to be like that, you know, to that degree, because the communists are split. They're fighting amongst each other. They're right now,
yeah.
They are turning. They do not have right now a leader. They're pretty much without a leader, and they're divided. Nancy Pelosi has. She has gone against AOC, that Alexandria Cortez, and she supported a Jamie Raskin, who's a hardcore, evil, evil Satanist type fella. And so there's a big split between the squat and the other radicals, the other far left. And so not only that, but there's a battle going on. The word, the chatter has it that Biden's wife is really out to get you. She's out for revenge. Because and so we'll see what happens. She's going after, she's really going after Nancy Pelosi. She's got Nancy Pelosi in her sights. And also Obama. Yeah. They both threw old Joe under the bus. And,
listen, I believe that, you know, it doesn't matter who goes into office. It could be anybody. It could be people. It could be somebody the whole nation backs. But you're going to find things wrong with them, of course, right? And I'm talking crazy stuff. So Trump's going to come into office. I like Trump. He's tough. I like Trump. He's from New York. But everybody's going to find things that, you know, there's things about him I don't like. Sometimes he speaks a little too quickly. Maybe he doesn't think sometimes before he speaks. But most of what he says is good. Are they going to let him put our nation back together like the intention was last time and everybody was beating up on him because he was making good strides. He was making progress.
Well, you know? This time again, it's different. It's different here. Let me tell you why. First of all, there's a double derangement now. There's a double derangement. Elon Musk, right now, the left has decided that Elon Musk, is out to destroy them too. And so now they're saying that Elon Musk, they believe that he is actually the shadow president. And I'm not kidding you. This is what they're saying. And so you've got
kind of like Dick Cheney used to be.
Yeah.
They're all part of that mixed club where they go and have coffee together.
So they've got no leader. They're split. They're fighting each other. And not only that, but here's another thing that Trump has this time. It's the rhinos. Remember, the rhinos was sticking it to him in his back. And the rhinos now, they know that they're going to be primaried. If they do that, they know you got McConnell. He's on his way out, and the other rhinos they're hearing from the people, and so I think you're going to see the rhinos kind of standing down.
Yeah, the most important thing to them is their job, and if you put that at jeopardy, they're not going to go against the grain then,
right.
and that's what we have for at least the first 100 days, maybe. Maybe even longer, you know, at least the first year and a half we've got before they start working on primaries and stuff. We've got the House, we've got the Senate, and there's going to be some, we don't have huge majorities in them, and there's going to be some struggles and stuff, but it's not even close to like last time.
Mm. Here's a good question. What can we, the people, do to help the nation? Now, I'm not referring to protesting, because I personally think protesting is somewhat's a waste of time because it's only caused trouble, you know. But what can we, the people, do in a positive, progressive manner to help this country become good again? Because, you know, the way that we're going, we all know we're spiraling downhill. And, you know, China is going to come here and just stomp all over us. But they're not, because they need the business. But if war starts, we're in trouble. We're too spread out, you know.
Well, yeah, right now we're not in good shape. They've just about destroyed our military. And, you know, you had Mark Milley, former general, who he got out while the getting was good, who betrayed Trump, and he's treasonous. He just recently came out, and when he was asked just about you've in there, you were talking to Joe Biden, and why didn't you report his mental condition? And Milley said, "Well, because he was sharp, he was right on. He knew what we were talking about." And Milley was lying. He lied about Trump. He betrayed Trump. This guy is unbelievable. Now he's crying the blues about how Trump is going to court-martial him. He knows he's going to court-martial him, okay? And same thing you have with a number of these people that, that one congressman, senior moment right now, I'm having, Thompson, the one from South Carolina who, having a senior moment on that, but anyhow, he's crying the blues. He's afraid. He needs protection. Even Bill Clinton's out there saying that Biden should pardon Hillary. He should pardon Hillary before he goes out. All of these people knew that they have committed high crimes, huh? But
if they have legitimately committed a high crime, close to treason to the country, how and why should they be pardoned? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you remember, the left doesn't make sense. Remember,
I know, that's true.
Those on the left, they put good for evil, evil for good. So they're running to get pardons because they know they have committed high crimes, and they got caught. You know, this whole thing, Russia, all the things they did, the false charges, that Jack Smith, they lied and they lied and they lied and they lied. Okay,
and isn't lying a crime? in a sense.
Pardon?
Under oath, yes. Under oath it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and they've lied to Congress. I've sat there and watched Merrick Garland sat there and lied to Congress. And the same thing with Chris Wray. Well, they knew they could get away with it because it would be up to them to charge themselves for lying under Congress.
How does that work? Oh, my God. You know, it's sad because some of our forefathers in government have built in these loopholes for treasonous people to slide through.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, gentlemen, thank you so much for having me speak with you. I'm gonna get going. I actually have to begin driving, and I don't want to do that with my phone in my hand.
Well, have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, and yes, and may the Holy Spirit give you both a new song this year.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. We've got Cliff.
All right.
Yeah, hi. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Nice song that you just played, by the way. Two things on the Audible books. One, there's one that's free that's from 2021 called The Atlas of AI on the Artificial Intelligence by Crawford, a woman journalist. But I it's like 9 hours on Audible. I thought it was worth listening to. But a lot of it is tying into, like, central control, potentially, this artificial intelligence, you know, where they're trying to bring everybody into various forms of surveillance. One of the things that was interesting is how they're using, like Stanford did, set up cameras in a cafe in San Francisco, I believe, and they just took unlimited photos of pictures of people coming into a cafe, and they use this information as a training set for AI programs. So basically, they're using getting like photos of people or scrapping them from the web and using them without people's consent as training sets for how they want to set up an AI program, which is so. That book is interesting. At the end, she ends what she visits the area with Jeff Bezos' estate, and she's talking about driving down the sinister road, and that ends the book. So I like that little phrase, the sinister road. And another book that goes back that was free that I did listen to goes back to 2002, which is on the history of the NSA up to that point. It's called Body of Secrets. And it has, in the middle of that book, a lengthy account of the USS Liberty fiasco. And, you know, you played that interview with a survivor, but that boat was not heavily armed. It just had, like, machine guns on the deck. It was basically recommissioned as, like, a spy ship.
That's what it was. It was a spy ship.
Yeah, so it wasn't really positioned to fight back as well, and they were basically blindsided. It does give the background of like, most of the people that died, you know, their history, their personal history. Very gruesome, that section of the book. It was very difficult to listen to. One of the theories that they put forth was that they stumbled on intercepts, and most of these were like academic types. Basically, they were translators. They were able to understand and do intercepts and, you know, be able to translate the language. But they may have, you know, just been in the wrong place at the wrong time with that six-day war. And supposedly civilians were being slaughtered on Egyptian side, and the Israelis did not want that information intercepted, and that would have been a motive for doing it. But they just kept coming back. They clearly knew it was a U.S. ship, and they weren't basically... they never really apologized, number one, and they even had, like, a part of what the boat. They tried to actually sink it. It almost sunk. So that was the biggest attack on the on basically a U.S. ship since World War II. So, and they also, like, gloated over it afterwards. They had pieces of what they got from the ship in a museum afterwards. So very vicious attack. Knowingly done on a U.S. ship. And another part of that book, which I had never heard of before, there was also an incident where North Korea captured another spy ship, and there was nobody in the area, and they just gave up the ship. And they towed it in and kept the ship and eventually let the captain and the crew go. They tried to send help, but nobody was close enough, including a fighter jet that needed to dump. It had six nuclear bombs on it, but they didn't want to send a fighter ship to help the crew with nuclear bombs. So they had to take time to take off the nuclear bombs and put on conventional weapons. By then, it was too late. So I had never heard of that. That was like in the late 60s as well. So.
Yeah, but think about this, first of all.
Yeah.
Israel would never have attacked that had they not known that there would not be a reprisal. Mm-hmm. Had there not been, if they had not been assured, go ahead, take it out. We want to get into this war anyhow. You know, that was Johnson. You know, I want to get into this war with you, so go ahead and take it out. There'll be no reprisal. I'll tell him to stand down. That's exactly what he did. Remember what he said? I don't care about a few dead sailors.
Yeah, Yeah, well, you know, Johnson's personal history is he was definitely in on the JFK assassination.
Yep.
The woman that said that, you know, this will be taken care of, what was her last name was Brown, you know.
She was his mistress.
Yeah, but that wasn't like just a mistress that was for that year. He met her in Dallas in 1951 at an event in Dallas. So she was basically like his second wife or longtime mistress. So I doubt she wasn't a fly-by-night girlfriend. You know?
We had her on a radio program years ago. She had a son by him. And they would not acknowledge it. Lady Bird would not let him be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and he also had his own sister taken out because she had problems with alcohol and drugs and knew a little bit too much, and he had her assassinated, according to a lawyer that defended him, that's still around. You know, he's still alive, I said that, you know, according to him. So,
Now, I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. Right, right. There's a lawyer that was actually took on some of his, was his defense lawyer and some stuff, and you know, he's coming out now and said that's among nine people he had whacked, you know, including someone that was sent from the feds to investigate election fraud, and, you know, he was assassinated right on the stoop of, he wasn't a nice guy, you know. Surprised that how does a guy like that get through the ranks?
And his Secretary of Defense wasn't much better, McNamara.
Yeah.
I had Colonel H. Speed Wilson and others who were in that war tell me that he was very quick to sacrifice our men. You know, I mean, just unbelievable. And
yeah, with Vietnam, I don't know what the real reason for that was, but one of them given was Indonesia at the time did have a large supply of oil, and they didn't want the people coming down there and getting access to that oil. Another reason could have been there was drugs. But obviously, they also poisoned the
poppy fields and
the people with those drums of those chemicals that they put the defoliants, you know.
Agent Orange was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the way, boy, believe me, I was very familiar with that. All righty. We're coming.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas. We're coming up to a break, and so when we come back, the phone lines will still be open at 888-677-9673. Be back, right after this, with a whole lot more. Don't go away. Take it away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.